Colossians chapter 1. Tonight we're going to start with verse 15 tonight. We're going to go verse by verse in the book of Colossians. I know for some that may seem like it's going to be long, but how many knows God has something to say from His Word? How many here have ever had a great meal and you didn't want to have any more because it was good? Right? Okay, three of you. What do you guys eat? Hot dogs every day? All right, here we go. How many here have ever had a Christmas dinner or a Thanksgiving dinner, but you had to eat multiple locations? And you wanted to make sure that you blessed each home, so you ate like what you normally would, but by the end of the evening, you were stuffed. I like turkey, but after Thanksgiving, I need a break from turkey. All right, I really do. I need a break from it. But during those times, it's good. It's satisfying. Tonight is going to be satisfying to the soul. Tonight, God's going to instill something in your spirit that will be lasting. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any what? Then we need to allow it to do what God said. It's like a scalpel that will work on an area and cut that area out, that there's no scars left behind. How many think the Lord can work something out of us and have no scars? How many believe He can change something in us to make us more like Him? All of us in here have areas that we need to work on. I don't care how long you've been saved. All of us have areas that He wants to perfect, mature. He wants to bring through. He wants to change. And there are some times that we can have a stronghold. A stronghold sometimes doesn't have to be a demonic barrage. It can be a thought and an intent that we hold on to. It can even be a tradition to the place where it's negated Christ's power out. Say amen. I've seen it at times, well, this is the way we've done it. We've always done it this way. And God's got to move this way. How many of us He may move that way? We have to be open to the Holy Spirit. And when we start with verse 15 here, it says this: Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, when it comes to Jesus, He is the exact image of the Father. Now, in Genesis, it says that we bear the image of our Creator. We've been created in His image. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. See, Jesus took on flesh and blood. He took on a physical body given through Mary. That He walked among us. He did everything. He bled. He cried. Listen to me. In fact, He had to have a diaper changed. He just didn't appear at age 33 and walk around. Everything that we've experienced in life, Jesus has felt the same. He knows what it's like to grow up. He knows what it's like to see people. He knows what it's like in every facet, yet without sin. So when we begin to see Him, we need to realize that God is among us. His relationship with us is true. It's authentic. Because that's the way we've been designed. We've been designed in His image and His likeness. When sin entered the world, death came by sin. And death is passed unto all men because all have sinned. Can you see how God has brought a plan of redemption back? He's saying, listen to me. Though you're this way, separate from me, I'm going to work it so it's been restored. And when I think about it, what a time to live today. He didn't want you born 100 years ago or 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago. He wanted you born right now. He knew that this generation here could handle what's going on. I mean, that's a special privilege that we have. More than ever, we have more things bombarding our eyes and our ears than ever before. But those who are serving the Lord, you know what, are overcoming those things. I like to say that we're overcomers in Christ. I like to say that, you know, no matter what happens, no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. And I'll make this statement to you. If you can live for Jesus in today's age, that's an awesome thing. Come on, you're here tonight. I mean, God's working in you and through you. When I look at Jesus in Hebrews, if you take notes, Hebrews 1:3, being the express brightness of His glory, the image of His person, upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had purged our sins, He sat down at the majesty on high. Do you know, Satan wants to keep people from understanding this revelation about Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says this, the God of this world has blinded the minds of those in unbelief, lest the glorious gospel should shine on them. As we go onto the streets, we need to pray, Lord, we come against every blinder, every stronghold. Because how did you get saved in here? How on earth did the gospel finally get into your heart that you said yes? How many of somebody prayed for you? How many of somebody did something in your life? Somebody spoke to you. Somebody brought the message. How much more? When it comes to services, if you belong to this fellowship, I expect you to pray before a Wednesday service and a Sunday service. How many of we need to see that when it comes to the altar, hey, people are open to receive. Because that may be your family that responds. That may be your neighbor or somebody you've never met before. I mean, when the gospel is preached, it needs to be worked into those hearts. So we need to pray. We need to saturate those areas in prayer that the glorious gospel may shine upon them, that they can understand. Because Satan has brought blinders to people's eyes. Now, how many here remember before you got saved? Let me see your hand. You ever notice that the gospel was so foreign, even though you could hear it? You could hear the stories about it. You could remember a few things. But there was nothing working in that area. But something happened when that faith that God's given you was ignited by the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, the world changed. You started to realize there's life and death. You start to realize that heaven's your home. The glorious understanding that Jesus is now your Lord. Isn't it amazing that those blinders came off? Those scales were dropped. And you became a different person. Why does anyone want to go back to sin? It's just as lost as when you left it. The truth is that there's no fulfillment living in sin. You just end up being miserable because now you're not serving the Lord and sin's no longer a delight. It's a miserable state to be. And you just like exist. Well, Christ doesn't want us just to exist. The more I know Jesus, the greater it is. Say the greater it is. How many of the more you know him, the more you fall in love with him? Yes or no? How many of it serving him is a great thing? He's a great God. Everything he does is for our benefit. And none of us can repay all that he's done. And if you think about it, he's still going to be given to us forever and ever and ever. I go to prepare a place for you when I'm not done, I'm coming again. I've asked this question a million times. Are you worried about what you're going to eat in heaven? Are you worried about what you're going to wear in heaven? Are you worried about where you're going to live in heaven? Notice it isn't even instilled in us. We worry about so many of those things on this planet, but man, none of us are even worried about it there because God has your future already taken care of. I'm going to meet every one of your needs according to my riches and glory. Our mission now should be this. Lord, I'm saved. I want others to know this goodness too. No matter what my seed source is, no matter what my job is, I want people to know that they can be forgiven. That righteousness has been established in the land. I'll get to that in a minute. When I look at Jesus, notice that he's before all creation. Before anything was, he was there. That blows me away. It says, from everlasting to everlasting, he is God. Proverbs 8, verse 23. I was set up from everlasting from the beginning, even before the world was. In Proverbs 8, verse 24, there's no depths, I brought it forth. There was no fountains, I brought forth the waters. The mountains, they were settled, I brought forth the hills. I love that. Everything we see has been created by the Almighty God. Amen? And when you think about the universe, the universes, they all spin according to his word. And he calls every one of them by name. Isn't that awesome? Think about how infinite our God is. Just spending time with him every day, every moment you're with him is going to be like a new day. Just like the angels that cry, holy, holy, holy. It isn't a rerun. Every time they look at the throne, they see another glimpse of holiness. It's a new, fresh revelation. Holy, holy. Holy, that's the way it is. It's fresh revelation. Every single moment we're there will be a fresh revelation of who he is. I want that to continue on up all the days of my life here. Amen? like all of you in here, how many want to have a good journey, live a full life, and when God's done to you, you close your eyes, you're in glory? I don't like to see people suffer. Come on, we've all had suffering in the flesh. We've all had those times, those ailments. But Lord, you're able to work. All creation shows his glory that man's without excuse. Here's a true fact. If you were dumped on an island, you were born there, and nobody had a chance to talk to you, you could look up and go, man, there's got to be a designer. All creation shows his glory. Man is without excuse. How great is our God? And the farther you move out and see, sometimes when it's clear out, you can see more stars than you ever thought possible. There's no doubt about it. God says, I've created all that that you can enjoy. I gave you the sun during the day and the lesser light, the moon during the night. I mean, those are great things. You know, it's nice to be alive. I said, it's nice to be alive. And if you've ever been to other places, this country is still a pretty great country. Amen. Amen. I know some people that still don't have freedoms. Hello? They can't do whatever they like to do as far as employment. Oh, come on. When I look at Jesus, the whole creation is before him. In Romans 11, verse 36, for in him and through him and by him all things are, to the glory of God forever. Amen. When it says he's created all things, you know what? He's before all things. He is the end of creation. He contains it all in himself. Before it was, he is. Amen. Imagine Jesus making this statement to the Pharisees. Before Abraham was, I am. And then they look at him, you can't even be 50 years old. How can you know Abraham? How many knows he was speaking a word about himself? You look so natural, you look so carnal. Before Abraham was, I am. I took on flesh and walked among us. That's the God we serve. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. We need to get that in our heart and spirit, that no matter what we face, God has already walked through it for us. Amen. Amen. He knows every weakness that we'll ever have, and he knows how to bring victory in every situation. Let's not limit God working in our life. Let's not limit him on how great he is. Look at verse 17, Colossians 1:17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That means all things are made by him. In 1 John 1:3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You did not make it. You may have put some things together, but the resources were already here. Hallelujah. Let me ask you this. Who in this room can make something out of nothing? Show me. Show me that you can make something out of nothing. We use the elements that are here. We use the faculties that we have. But God said, before it was, I am. And I spoke it into existence. Hallelujah. And then I looked at man and I fashioned him with my hands. And then I breathed in him, that pneumos, and he became alive. Can you imagine when Adam, first time he opened his eyes, and there's God's face? Wouldn't that be so cool? And then he realizes, you created me. And you didn't make me lesser. You didn't make me like I'm missing something. I've been created in your image. I look forward to the day when we're totally without sin. Yes, totally without the hint of sin. What a glorious thing that's going to be. In heaven alone, just that. Besides all the royalty. Besides all the beauty. Without sin. One day we will be that way. Won't that be glorious? No thoughts of this. No thoughts of this. If you had $1 million at your front porch and you said nobody touch it, nobody would touch it forever. No covetousness in there. None of that stuff. Nobody will rob, steal. Nobody will defraud anyone. The truth is that truly that's God's way and plan. And one day he's going to bring everything there. When it says he's before all things, that means every angel, every authority, he's created all of it. Say, God's good. If you're taking notes, I'm sorry. 1 Peter 3, verse 22. I'm sorry. It says, who's gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers are made subject to him. Do you know you've been created for his pleasure? I'll give you purpose. You've been created for his pleasure. That means your life is not your own. You can live your whole life doing your own thing, living for your own pleasure, but one day you'll lose it. In Revelation 4, verse 11, it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you've created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created." Isn't that good news? When he made the bunnies, that's for my pleasure. We made the squirrels, that's for my pleasure. Do you know, in fact, the matter is when he made the lion and the lamb, one day they're going to eat together. The cow and the ox and the lion, they'll all eat together. Isn't that cool? Even creation has been affected by sin. One day a child will be able to play at a poisonous snake's thing and never even have to worry about it. That's a glorious day. I created all of it for my pleasure. And most importantly, you, my highest creation. You can do something that a lion can't do, that a giraffe can't do. You can voice to your king, from your heart, your spirit, you can love me just like I can love you. That's an awesome thing. It's also an awesome responsibility. Let's spend that time loving him. Let's spend that time in intimacy in him. If you want God to do more in your life and through your life, spend time just loving on him. Have a moment listening to me that, Lord, this time is just for you. Kind of quiet today. I mean, does it matter? If you lead a Bible study, you're having somebody over, have a time just to love on him. I love this. There's been times I've had family reunions, and I just spend an extra time loving on the Lord in prayer. Because my whole family's going to walk into the presence. Glory to God. How many knows they can sense something's different? Because God's there. Not because you're all that, because he's all that. Yes or no? Do you think Jesus came to a service unprepared? I mean, think he had a time of worship. In fact, the matter is, Jesus even forsook even some sleep. Even after a crusade, he went back to his Father and prayed. Got refilled. Hallelujah. And if you want to know some of Jesus' prayer times, remember when he was transfigured before Peter, James, and John? His face became like the sun. That's pretty awesome, wouldn't you say? How many of us would freak out if that happened? Then all of a sudden Moses and Elijah appeared. How many would be like, dude, what do we do with this? Yes or no? Sometimes we think we're all that. I'd be freaking out if his face started to shine like the sun, a cloud came over, and Moses and Elijah came in the room. How would you even know what they look like? But when there's abundance of revelation, how many of those God will instill in your hearts? Oh, isn't that so cool? But the intimacy you'll have with him will be your own. It won't be strange. It won't be foreign. But it'll be real. It'll be genuine. And when you're with God, something changes. Look at verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The verb here in this word means it's held together by him. It's like he is that one. 2 Peter 3:5. He's like he holds it together. And you know what? Without Jesus, it would all fall apart. If there's a time where God said, I'm done with this, the universes would collide and blow apart. Aren't you glad it's still held by his word? If you get a word of the Lord in your situation, you can hold on to that word because it's going to work. When God said, let there be, he held that in his word. That's so awesome. When I think about our ceiling of this place, man, the universe is existing and floating. And you know what? I can do zero about it. Yet he holds it by the word of his power. When man holds their fist towards God saying, you know what? I don't care about you. You don't even know what you're doing. And how dare we think we can even take God out of the equation? He knows our frame that we're but dust. Amen? Even if you lived a full lifetime, he knows you're going to pass away. I live forever. And what can the created ever say to the creator? Some people are going to have a rude awakening one day when they realize they missed it. But we need to pray. And you know what? Our liberal media sometimes perpetuates a whole lot of different dimensions. And do this in your heart. A few people isn't the mass. And when they say there's a whole lot of people in this area, it's a smaller group with a loud voice. Just stand for what you believe. That'll last every time. Amen? I said that'll last every time. Hallelujah. And I've lived long enough to know that in every area, somewhere, there's a witness. I've seen it in football games. I've seen it in baseball games. I've seen it in soccer. I've seen it in schools. Somewhere there's a teacher that loves God. Somewhere in the workplace there's somebody that's saved. There's a witness everywhere. Let's just live it out. Hallelujah. God knows how to arrange. He sets up and he removes. When it comes to Jesus, he's that power, that force that works and holds all things together. And now he sustains it by his power. The world he created for us. He's not looking to destroy us. He's looking to bless us. Amen? And then one day he'll take us home. And God knows your formula. Hallelujah. I like what my mom said when she was passing on from this life. She said, they're waiting for me. They were already tipped off that she was on her way home. See, I look at death as so different. It's like, you're not dead. You've transitioned from this life to what's next. Your flesh may die, but you're still alive. Amen? Amen? And when she began to share those things, she knew that her time was approaching rapidly. But what I love about it is that God doesn't even leave you comfortless during that time. We're not just going to be some disembodied spirit floating around hoping we'll make it. No, there's a divine plan. And the Father will make sure you get home. Amen. Like any father who cares for their kids, he'll make sure you get home. Hallelujah. Because I don't have a roadmap how to get there. I just know the Holy Ghost is going to take me there. Amen? I don't have to pass go. I'm going straight there, and it's not to jail either. Hallelujah? When I look at Jesus, he holds together what he's created. I love that. Then, Lord, what you create, you're able to hold together. Look at verse 18. For he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Notice Jesus is the head of the church. When we try to be the head, it's a two-headed monster. But if he's the head of the church, then we become everything else under that. We become the support process to the head, the shoulders, the arms, and everything else. Isn't that cool? And if he's the head of the church, we'll never mess up. Come on, we'll never mess up. We'll have our thinking right, our speaking right, our view right, everything that's vital that the head can give to the rest of the body. He's the head of the church. Then, Lord, I want you to be the head of the church. And Lighthouse, Jesus is the head of the church. He's the senior pastor. I'm just the associate. Say amen. I don't have a problem with that at all. Ephesians 1 verse 22. He has put all things under his feet and give him the head over the church, which is the body, the fullness of him all in all. Every part of the body. And that's what I love about the kingdom. When it increases, they're part of the body. Now, it's hard to say what part we all are, but we're in the body of Christ. Amen? And a lot of times, the most valuable things are internal. We don't even see them. Sometimes if you feel like you don't amount to much or you're not useful, you're probably more useful than ever. How many of those my finger matters? How many ever smashed your finger before? How many ever lost a fingernail or a toenail? How many of those that hurts, all right? How many here have ever had a shopping cart run over your heels and it pulls off the skin on the heel? Did anybody do like me, stick your toes in the spokes before? You know what? That hurts. I said that hurts. It's amazing that little area, like stepping on a piece of Lego with your bare feet in the middle of the night, how much things can hurt. I've even had a paper cut hurt. Amen? And if you're like me, sometimes clumsy, I've closed my fingers in my car door before. Gosh. I've rolled my finger up in my own window before. Jesus help me, amen? I went into the wrong bathroom and then get there and go, I don't remember it being pink. And have somebody come out the stall and there I am. I'm like, oh my God. And run out the bathroom only to have four or five ladies laugh because they knew I went into the wrong one. And then go do like this, just, yes, I went in the wrong bathroom. I know sometimes you just got to fess up and humble yourself. Yes or no? And sometimes you got to laugh at you because we're funny creatures. We are. Sometimes you need a good laugh at you. How many have tripped over nothing before? You just tripped over nothing. There was nothing there, but you still tripped over it. Amen? Does anybody spill things on yourself? You don't mean to? Let me see your hand. You spill things on. Oh, good. Good. I've done that too. I've been so careful before and still get it on me. Amen. I'm working on it. But you know, in heaven, I believe this, even if you did spill something on it, it'd be like that. It'll fly right off. Amen. You'll never have a spot or wrinkle there. Hallelujah. Not only in sin, but in righteousness. I don't know if there's going to be any laundry done in heaven. There won't be any dust. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, this is going to be glorious. I'm telling you. Flowers, beautiful flowers. And everything that we've missed out on from creation, we'll see again. All the animals that became extinct that we really don't know much about will be. Isn't that great? Amen. I look forward to meeting the real Adam. I really do. I look forward to meeting the real Eve. Throughout history, I've read some people, listen, I believe Abraham Lincoln got saved. I look forward to meeting him. I look forward to meeting Martin Luther King. I really do. And you know what? They'll be just as excited about meeting you because you're an overcomer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Notice that he's the head of the body, head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he might have the preeminence. Notice that he's the head. He's always the head. He's never the tail. When the church makes him out to be the tail or the booty end of the joke, there's something wrong. The church needs to always hold him up in his proper place. If we do, you know what? Everything fitly joins together. God's building his body in these days. Jesus arose from the dead. He became our chief. You know what? He's the firstborn from the dead. He's the first one to make the declaration that, you know what, I'm going to die, but in 3 days you're going to see me again. How is that? As he's overcome, so shall we. That's good news as believer. We're the only ones who can make that statement because we have the only Savior that can do it. Everyone else wished they could. Every Pharaoh thought they had an afterlife, but their stuff stayed somewhere else. Do you know what? I wonder how many of them goes, you know what? That God of Israel, I should have served him. Amen. Look at all the nations that could have bowed their knee. Believe me, there's been a witness in every generation that he is Lord. Every generation. Even back as far as Noah's day, when only his family got saved. There was a witness of Christ there. Every generation. We're the church today. We're the witness to the world. We have to do our part. But if he's not the head, you know what? We miss it. Is this good this evening? Lord, I want to know, God, you're the beginning, you're the end. I'm going to follow along. If he's the beginning and the end, you know what? He can fill in the middle too. Say amen. If he's been from everlasting to everlasting, he's probably pretty smart. Wouldn't you agree? And if he can make you out of dust and breathe in you, can you imagine living with him, what it's going to be like? Man, in 7 days, 6 days, he can create all we see, and he's been working on his place for a few thousand years for us. Beautiful. And when I think about time, when it ceases now, and now all of a sudden the clocks are gone. I love that about my mother. She had that revelation before she passed. She said, you know what, I see a glimpse into the future. And she looked at me, just depleted. She said, I'm going to blink, and you're going to be there. She had that revelation come that time ceases, that it may be years. It may seem like a decade or a lifetime, but it's just a blink and you'll be there. Amen? That's why all those that are there, when somebody new comes in, it isn't like, oh man, it's been so long. Gosh. No, it's like a moment. It's a moment in time. And boom, you're there. Boom, you're there. We need to also live our life accordingly. That all of us are getting old slowly and suddenly. True? You start to rack up those years. Amen? The old tent we have starts to get a little holy. We start to have a few patches on here and there. All you campers know what I'm talking about. Amen? When it comes to Jesus, His rule is supreme. He's over angels, He's over principalities, and He's over powers. All things, He might have the preeminence. That means He's preeminent in all things. He accomplishes His purpose. And no one can say, Lord, what are you doing? He sets up kingdoms and He removes them. Even when we feel like things are going astray, He's still Lord. Amen? When you look at all the kings in Israel, man, there were very few, not even a handful, that really lived for the Lord. Yet God still moved. I don't want the church to go in the cycle of Israel, though. They get their life right. They slowly dissipate. They get into apostasy. They totally rebel against God. God has to bring them into captivity, get their attention, and bring them out. I mean, I don't want to go through that cycle. Let's not go around the mountain one more time. Let's say in our hearts, as for me and my house, I'm serving the Lord. I thank God that Caleb and Joshua were a great example during that age. But if you think about it, of all the great people, two made it. Sometimes I look at that, that's a scary figure. Of all the people during Noah's age, there was only him and his family. That's pretty scary, pretty reduced numbers. But that also tells me if you were the only one living for God, God would go after you. And if you were the only one on the planet that served Him, He would take you home with Him. Let's live for Him. True? God's designed. He's the risen one. He's over all things. That means wisdom, might, holiness, death, powers, glory, worlds. It doesn't matter. He's a before all things. He has that, and we need to give Him room there. Give Him room in all those areas. Lord, You're Lord of this area. You're Lord of my family. You're Lord of my finances. You're Lord Jesus. You're given that opportunity. You know what? He'll fill that role. When we become Lord, we stuff the box with sin. But when He's Lord, we let the Holy Ghost do the work. There's so many needful things we go through and unneedful things that we experience. Sometimes we're holding on to so many things that bring us pain when we could release it to God. And none of us can add anything by worrying. What situation have you ever changed by worrying? Anybody in here? Has it brought you comfort? Has it brought you sleep? How many of us it's an agony. Lord, let me trust You in this. That God, You're Lord of all. You know what I'm going through. Look at verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him reconcile all things on Himself, whether things in earth or things in heaven. To reconcile is to be strengthened by, to remove something, to be freed. He has reconciled everything through the blood of the cross. That's good news. Sin brought disharmony, not only in this world, but also in the angelic host. The angels that left their first estate, those who risen up, were banished out. So sin has affected every area. Mankind, the angelic host, and also creation. But Jesus is going to redeem it all. He's going to bring it all back. He's going to free it. And you know what? One day, the last enemy for us to be destroyed is death. It's the only thing we have to experience. This body still will break down until one day that's done with. But can you imagine the millennium? Here's a giant tiger, a lion. You'll be able to go up and pet that thing and not worry about it biting your hand off. And it will graze with the other wild animals. I think that's pretty cool. I have a destiny to ride one of those puppies. I really do. Amen? I look forward to that. Here's how fun that would be. Now that's my own opinion, all right? When I look at Jesus, he's before all things. You know what that means? He is before it. If God before you, who can be what? Against you. The act of reconciliation is this. It works through Christ. He brings the change. He's paid the price for our sin and shame, and now we have to just walk in it. We have to accept what he's done, not add to it, not take away from it. I know this for a fact. Reconciliation is a gradual process, but it accomplishes the goal. I like to say that all of a sudden I'm presto changed. My spirit's made me right, but how many of us like still got flesh? Anybody still got flesh? How many of us were being reconciled to God? The gradual change is happening. Don't get out of the change. And don't stunt yourself in that area. How much you grew last year, you can grow more this year. How holy you were last year, God can make you more holy this year. That gradual process of change is working in us. Paul said, I haven't arrived yet, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen? Amen? Now, you'll never be totally perfected because we still have flesh. But you know what? You can sure serve him as close as you can. Amen. But thanks be to God. If we hold up on our hang-ups, you know what? We're limiting what Christ can do. And we can't use it as an excuse either. Well, that's just the way I am. Then you need to change. You can fortify that position, but that's not a good place. No, I want to change. Lord, I've been this way. I want to change. And it's not a matter of just denying it either. I've seen people deny certain habits only to pick up another one. No, I want a total change in me. I want the sin in that area to be in the rearview mirror. That when the enemy brings the temptation, and believe me, you can be set free from something for 20, 30 years, and he'll try to bring that temptation back around. Just don't grab a hold of it. Nope, I've been free from that before. Keep going. Good preaching? It's a gradual change. Instantly, your spirit is made right, but the rest of it comes along. And if I look real close, God is gradually bringing the church around again. I have a concern that we don't miss what God wants to do right now. This is our opportunity. Say amen. Amen. Then I'm going to live it all out while I'm on planet Earth. There have been so many people that have went before us already that asked God to move that never saw some of the things we're seeing now. But God's still honoring their prayers. He is absolute in power. I said he's absolute in power. Everything will come under him. Do you know one thing? Jesus said, all the kingdoms of this world will bow before me to the glory of my Father. And I will present the kingdom to him, totally surrendered in every single area. And one day even death will bow. That will be done away with. This gradual process is at work today. And it's working in you if Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Isn't that cool? Notice this verse says, having made peace. How many like peace? I love peace. Amen? People are welcome over my house, but guess what? You're going to bring peace with you. Is that a good thing? If you don't bring peace, guess who's going? I love you, but there's peace in the home. How many of us, we need peace? Listen, no matter how big and the bigger the family are, there's times you just need some peace. We have peace with God. When we have peace with God, the rest of our life can become a little easier. Most people are striving to get peace with one another, but you got to make it with your Creator first. It's got to be number one. But through the blood of the cross, he has reconciled to himself all things, whether in earth or things in heaven. Notice that he's reconciled. He has made a way through his blood by the act of royal judgment and his priestly sacrifice. He has made a way for us. I love this. Righteousness has been established in the land. You can get your life right driving in your car, in the shower, on the beach, on top of a mountain. You can get your life right anywhere on planet Earth. It's been established in the land. Good news. That means we can be a witness anywhere and God can still move. You can be on an airplane traveling 600 miles an hour. God can still move. Amen. You can be all alone by yourself and bow your knee to Christ. I've met a lot of people that have been home and just said, Lord Jesus, I heard about you. Come into my life. And God save them right there. I mean, the Lord can do that. He's before all things. As a church, we need to hold that up, that he's able. He owns the final say-so. Amen? Is this good tonight? Look at, notice, through his cross. His shedding of blood, the consequence of this, the punishment upon him, listen to me, brought redemption. The Father orchestrated the cross in such a way that everything that failed in mankind would be brought back through Jesus. From the sacrifices, from the timing, to what he experienced in the flesh, everything was so precise that whatever was lost in the garden through Satan, Jesus was building that back up. It was such a remarkable thing. And if you really look at Scripture, there was enough prophetic word listed throughout Scripture that listed where he was going to be born, how he was going to live, how he was going to die, who he was going to be born from, a virgin. All those things were prophesied. It paved the way so when Christ came, he fulfilled the word. I love it. He's still fulfilling his word. One day he's going to come again and receive us unto himself. It's still living and active. Jesus now took that sin, whatever was the punishment of it, and he paid it himself. Can you see how Satan was blinded to this truth? Having known, if he had known crucifying Jesus on the cross would have ended his reign, he would have never done it. But that was blinded for him. That was hidden from him. That was between Jesus and the Father as he prophesied all that was going to happen. Hallelujah. But the word must be mixed with faith. Amen? I'm glad Jesus came before there was cell phones and pictures. Hallelujah. I don't think there's an artist that can really depict how great he looks. I really don't. I don't think you got the colors for it. You surely don't have the eyes for it when his face shines like the sun. Say glory to God. In Philippians 2 verse 18, it says this, for this cause also we rejoice and rejoice in me. He humbled himself in that area. But you know what? There should be rejoicing that through the blood of the cross, we've been forgiven. He was innocent for our sake. He was holy to make us holy. And when I think of innocence, think of Jesus as an innocent man. In everything he did, he was innocent. That would come through in his life. When you met him, he was pure, he was holy. He didn't think evil of people. When he talked to people, he was innocent in that area. He was still a mighty man, but he was pure in those areas. I can see why the world hated him. I can see why when he came in conversation, people wanted to stone him. Because instantly there was conviction there. This guy is different. And Satan himself trying to tempt him, trying to get him to fall and stumble. That innocence brought us holiness. Hallelujah. What he paid the price so I can become like that. I want to be like that. I want to be more naive towards sin. I know enough about it. How many agree here? But I want to know more about holiness. I don't need to know any more about, Lord, I want to know more about you in your ways. I want that innocence to be in my life. I want that holiness to be in me. Notice that when he reconciled in earth and in heaven. He purged it. Jesus said, don't touch me. I got to go to my Father first. I'm going to purge heaven as well as earth. What Satan has brought in destruction, I'm changing that. Hallelujah. That the sprinkling of blood not only changed us here, it changed it there too. Glory to God. Man, we don't know how much destruction happened when Satan brought temptation in. When sin entered the world, death came by sin. And death is passed on to every man. But now, somebody say, but now. God has reconciled fourfold God and man, between angels and man, between Jews and Gentiles, and between man and the creation itself. That the angels who left their first estate, they've been banished. But there are still innumerable angels that are on our account. Isn't that cool? One day we will walk with angels in glory. That's been reconciled. We'll walk with God in glory. That's been reconciled. We'll walk with one another. You know what? That's been reconciled. And one day even creation that's been tempted and been tried and been like now that they're eating meat, one day that'll be all changing too. that every bit will experience the reconciliation of God. That gradual process will continue. Hallelujah. Here's a scripture you can look up later. Isaiah 65, verse 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw with the bull. The dust of a serpent, listen to me, won't hurt anyone on my holy mountain, says the Lord. Isn't that cool? In Isaiah 11, verse 6 through 9, the wolf will dwell with the lamb. The leopard will lay down with the sheep. The calf and the young lion will live together. Hallelujah. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear will feed together. Your young ones will lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. That's a different world than what we live in today. Amen. Reconciliation will even affect even the lower creation. Good deal. We're going to inherit all things. Amen? Can you handle one more verse? I got 27 pages of this. I'm skipping through some of it. Verse 21, and you, somebody say, and you. How many knows, and you is who? It's me, and you. Dottie, it's you, me, right? I'm glad somebody's sitting next to Dottie. She was all alone by herself earlier, right? It says, and you, who were sometimes alien and enemies in your mind towards wicked works, God has reconciled. It refers to our past condition. You and you were. Hallelujah. But now. Somebody say, but now. I have been reconciled to God. That's why we can't look at mankind and not be reconciled to them. Now, some people will not walk with you. Some people will not care about you. But you know what? That doesn't mean you can't reach out. Amen. Some of us may have been in the same condition, but God changed your heart. Don't give up on people. Always leave the door open. Even if it seemed like it slammed in your face, always leave the door open. If you ever want to talk, I'm always available. Love covers how much sin? A multitude, true? And who are we that we think we should shut people out when they probably need what we have? Amen? And I know God knows how to crack the shell and not break the nut. I mean, it's humility from the Lord. He can humble anyone. We need to have it there. Notice that our past condition. Notice our minds. Notice our conduct. Everything has been reconciled. Lord, let me have the mind of Christ with this new spirit. The word works in me and starts to change that area. That subtle change, that working in me, in and through me. The carnal mind is an enemy towards God. It's grounded in wicked works. The soil in which it operates is opposite of God. But you have the mind of Christ. How many want the mind of Christ and the Holy Ghost of Christ in you? You become a powerful individual. It's your right to have the mind of Christ. But you can't have the mind without the Word. Amen? We're not infants and babies. No, we've become mature. When you were a child, you talk like a child, you acted like a child. But now that you're of full age, you start to be men and women. Be reconciled to God. Then, Lord, what sin has diverted, perverted, changed, then I'm going to let the Word of God take that change in me. I'm going to let that mind be renewed. How much more faith would we walk in with a renewed mind? What if we could think appropriately in a situation when it's going haywire because you have the mind of Christ? We all need that. You know what? The crown of thorns were jabbed on his head, but you know what? He still had the mind of Christ. He wore a crown of thorns so I can wear a crown of glory. Sin brought the pickers. He's even going to touch creation. One day they'll be gone too. Hallelujah. I paid everything for you. Be reconciled through God. Through the blood, look at verse 22. Through the body of his flesh, through death, that you would be holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Everything he did was to present you. That means holiness is active. It's active right now. Through death, that means his life ending
and then now new birth in him. You become holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. Notice the end goal is to present you, to be preserved, to be perfected. That's a good thing. You're going to like how you turn out. You are. The paint may be still wet. There may be some body work still to do, but you're going to like how you turn out. I guarantee it. You one day you're going to say, man, this is awesome. Hallelujah. No hint of sin. Creation is changed. You're in that glory state. But we have to hold ourselves. How do we conduct ourselves now? We should start to look to be free from faults and stain of sin. When it says unreprovable, it means this. Unreprovable means this. Not accused by your neighbor. God will make you fit. Even if they try to, can't do it. But I saw him do this. Unreprovable. You could accuse Jesus of everything and they did. Imagine creation looking at him and says, you have a demon. And you're the prince of it. And Jesus, not getting offended, goes, you know what? Let me ask you this. If Satan can cast out Satan, is not his kingdom divided? And if I cast him out by the finger of God, whom do you cast him out by? Jesus lets it straight. I love it. He's unoffended. Even when people blasted him, he was unoffended. You know why? Because it's not in him. I'm going to want to live that way. Unreprovable, holy, without. I want to live that way. Then we should strive to keep ourselves from being stained, from having the faults within us, because we've been reconciled to God through the blood of his cross. Hallelujah. You enjoy this little segment here in Colossians? Hopefully it filled your spirit up tonight. How many are realizing that we're pretty awesome spirit beings? How many realize that Jesus paid the price that we can be reconciled to God? Amen? How many knows that everything that's set up, that gradual change process is in order now? You get the big things done, but now God's working on those little things. Who in here sometimes needs to start thinking like he thinks? Amen? How many are looking forward to one day all this being changed over? Amen? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. How many need to see this world reconciled to God? Then let's put our prayers there too. Let's start seeing our family, start speaking over them. Family, be reconciled to God. We'll speak that in faith. Amen? Whether it's a family member, whether it's a close family, maybe it's a husband or a wife or a children, be reconciled to God. Hallelujah. Listen, we have that power in the Spirit to speak those things, to call those things that are not as though they are. It's a promise from God. And if there's an area of your life that isn't what it needs to be, God, change this area. I'm reconciled to my God. Hallelujah. I want to be without stain. Come on. Fault and wrinkle. I know I got areas to go, but I want to live that type of life. I want to be quick to repent. Amen. And I also want to have more love for other individuals that are struggling in their areas. That I don't become religious. That I forget that I've been redeemed from it too. Say amen. How many want to be unoffended in here? Let me see your hand. That's a process. But if you don't eat it when it's dished out, you're less chance to be offended. It's when you start to chew on it and you start to think on it, you become that. Say amen. Then no, I'm not chewing. Lord, praise the Lord. Sometimes you just got to speak through it. No, I'm not being offended today in Jesus' name. He has reconciled me from dead works. Hallelujah. How many of you can speak your way through victory in that area? I've came from prayer meetings. Holy Ghost, unbelievable, to the greatest curse words put in my face in the next moment. I've walked from one situation right to the next and go all of a sudden like, blah, I can't believe it. But I'm not going to chew on it either. No. God, you're glorious. I just left your presence. That's what's in the world. That's all of the world. True? The more you start to be like him, the more the enemy wants to slime you. It's like when you get your car washed and that bird you've been watching, don't poop on my car. Don't do it. And bloop. Amen. Get the squeegee out and wash it off again. Hallelujah. You have the power to get the poo off. edit that off the CD, all right? How many knows we can do it? Amen. God's good. Enjoy tonight. Lift your hands towards the King. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you said be reconciled to God. I thank you, Lord God, for the fourfold reconciliation that we all have. Lord, with you. Lord, with one another. Lord, even the angelic host as well as creation. Father, work within us through that death of the cross. Through the blood you spilled, we have peace with God. So, Father, we walk in that peace tonight. Lord, we determine, Lord God, to be more like you in all that we say or do. Bless, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your time tonight. God bless you. Have a great week. Enjoy the sun.